Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Parsha class in the Young Israel. Well, not really, I shouldn't have said that. Thursday morning Shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere, the summer series. This is week two in our summer series. As I mentioned, please get the handout from the Bima. So this is a continuation of last week's class. We are going to continue the theme. We are journeying through Bein HaMitzarim, this time period of the three mournful weeks that goes from Shivas or Batamas, which was this past Sunday observed, through Tisha B'Av, when we mourn for the destruction of Churban, of Beis HaMikdash, Tzion, Yerushalayim, and Golas Yisrael. And we began last time in Mesachas Yuma, and we saw, this is an extra Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I'll just leave it with you in case someone can make it. Okay? We began last time in Mesachas Yuma, and we saw that what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we began with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the story of the shame and embarrassment that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We saw the Gemara Masechas Yuma, that the first temple was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins, but also because of Harbot Shabilishonam, swords of the tongue. And then we saw the Gemara that tells us that in the time of the second temple, they sound like very nice from people because they were Osek in Torah Mitzvahs and Gemilas Chasadim, Mipnei Ma'acharav, Mipnei Shahaisa Basinus Chinem. We spoke in depth, looking at a number of pieces from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, connected to different instances and narratives in the Torah about how important it is to have dignity and respect for our fellow human being. And if it is sinas chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, not seeing the kavod and the respect and the tzelem elokim in another person, which could lead me to hate somebody else, then it will be that we will reverse the process when we appreciate our fellow Jew, even if we're not exactly like them, and we can have a havas chinam and we can have kavod habrios once again. So we are going to pick up where we left off. I'm going to screen share. Why is there a comment? I am going to screen share with you. So we are beginning. I ask that you have your handout. We are beginning in the handout sheet in Maseches Gittin. Okay? So in Maseches Gittin, you see that over there? I'm not sure. I forgot a screen share. Yeah, in the handout. Okay, we went through Sichos Musar number 2 last time. We spoke extensively about Chana and Penina. And if you put your hand in a fire, even if it's for a good reason, like your child's by a bonfire, Chas V'Shalom, in the camp bonfire, the bungalow colony bonfire, and they stick their hand in the fire, so you want to get their hand out of the fire, so you have the best of intentions. It's to save your child from being burned, but you put your hand in the fire, even with the best of intentions, you are going to be burned. That's how it is. Rav Chaim Shlevitz teaches us when it comes to Averos Bein Adam or Maisim Bein Adam L'Chavero, even with the best of intentions, you will still get burned from harming and hurting somebody. So we are beginning today exactly where we left off. We are in Maseches Gittin. Could someone just do what pages? I don't have a copy of the handout here just because I'm on screen share. 2? Okay, thank you so much. You're on page 2, Maseches Gittin. Okay? So look what the Gemara tells us. So we began last time with the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bo Ure'e Kama. I forgot to ask the people online. Can you just see the mice? I can't see anyone. Everyone's behind boxes. Okay, I hope you can see the screen. If you can't see the screen, you can post, and I'll try and address that. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bo Urei Kama Gedola Kocha Shel Busha. Come and see how great is the power of Busha, the power of embarrassing somebody else. Shaharei Siyah HaKosh Baruch Hu Es Bar Kamtza V'Hachriv Es Beiso V'Saraf Es Heichalo. Look how great is the power of Busha causing pain and embarrassment to somebody else. Because of the embarrassment at the host, that the host would not let Bar Kamtza to stay at the party, a Kosh Baruch Hu helped him. Siya means to help. V'derech shod Adam rotzei lech ba misayin oso, ba malichin oso, balitar misayin oso, siyata d'shmaya. Siya means help. So Hashem helped him, and the temple was destroyed. He destroyed his own house because of the busha that happened. I'll pay for the half the party. I'll pay for my food. I'll pay for the whole party. Those picked him up by the hand and sent him out. V'saref es heichalo. And he destroyed his heichal and burned the Beis HaMikdash. So because of this embarrassment, because of causing one little Jew was embarrassed by one incident that happened. For that, you have to destroy the whole Tzion and Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. For that, you have to destroy the whole land and send us into Galus. Kam bo ure'e. Kama gdola kocha shel busha. Look how terrible it is when a Jew is embarrassed by another Jew. Sharei siya kosh baruch hu es bar kamtza. Kosh baruch hu helped. He assisted Bar Kamtza v'hechru v'speso, he destroyed his house, v'saraf es heichalo, and he burnt his temple. I am going to, we're going to go to Sichas Musar, number 3, okay? It's on the side. You should see a 3. Remember, I thanked last time Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter, unbeknownst to him, these were excerpts from part of his source packet in the shir he gave this past Shavuos. I photocopied, pasted them, and made a new handout for you. So we're on the side. You see the number 3? Yes? Hello? Okay, very good. The Ein Hadvarim Amurim Davka Bekvodo Shel HaKlal Kulo. And we're not only talking about Kavod HaBrios when it comes. Why are we confused? There's 2 handouts. I said there. Why are people looking to be confused? There's 2 handouts. There's what my usual handout looks like, and then there's a handout with very small letters, and this is from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I told you last time, I don't have the Sichos Musar. My thanks, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. This is a larger packet from a larger packet, a source of sheet of his from Shavuos. To prepare this year, I photocopied the sources that I wanted to use and then cut them out and pasted them on a paper and made photocopies, scanned it, and the office kindly emailed them. 2 source sheets. This one is labeled Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Sichos Musar. That's where I am, number 3 on the side. Good? Are we all with me? Okay. So we did 1 and 2 last time. The Ein Hadvarim Amurim Davka Bekvodo Shel Klal Kulo. We're not only talking about when it comes to Kavod HaBrios and making sure we do not embarrass or ashame or cause denigration to a member of Klal Yisrael. We're not only talking about when it comes to the Klal. We're not only talking about it when it comes to the community as a whole. Ela Af Bekvodo Shel HaPachos Shebibrios. We're talking about even the most simple person, the lowliest Jew, Kaviyacha, the most basic human being. I'm not talking about embarrassing the Klal. You're not talking about a dignitary. You're not talking about Kavod the Melech. I'm talking about the Kavod of HaPachos Shebibrios, a simple, regular, low person. Even his Kavod has to be carefully guarded. Shekein Matzinu, so we have found the Maseches Gittin. Amar Rabbi Elazar, this is the Gemara we just looked at. Ba'u re'ei kama gdola kocha shel busha. See how great is the power, the strength of causing shame to somebody else. Shaharei siya HaKadosh Baruch Hu etz Bar Kamtza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assisted Bar Kamtza. The Hachriv es Beis, who is quoting the Gemara where we began Shir, destroyed his house, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, v'saraf es heichalo, and he burned his sanctuary. And you should see there, Hava, it's hard for me to read it also. Hine, Busha Zu, Eina Busha Shalkai Yisrael. This was not the Busha of the whole Klal. It was not the Busha of thousands of people. It was not even the Busha of a community or a Kehila. Hine, Busha Zu, Eina Busha Shalkai Yisrael. You're not talking about Busha for Klal Yisrael. Ela Busha Shal Yachid. You're talking about one person, one little person. I mean, can't he just forget? Can't you just get over it? Can't you just ignore what was said? Is it so bad that he wouldn't let you stay at the party? Go home and make your own party. What's the big deal? Elabusha shal yachid, shal bar kamtza. We're talking about one person, bar kamtza. Shemishum busha so, lo nimna milios rodef al kol Yisrael. Because he was so embarrassed and ashamed, he did not hold himself back from becoming a rodef upon Israel. He went to the emperor and he slandered the Jews and he said, do you know what they're doing? They're rebelling against you. The limsar osam lemelech romi. He was a moser and a rodef after Klal Yisrael. These are the worst kind of Jews, we would normally say. How could you go to the authorities? How could you go to the Roman emperor? Why didn't you take the host to Beis Din? How could you have done this in public? How could you have had a smear campaign in the front page of every newspaper? You had to go to Melech Romi. You had to go to the Caesar. You had to go to the emperor and say they are rebelling against you. A Moser, a Rodef. Va'af bushaso shal adam mushachazu boka'as rika'im. Even the embarrassment of this kind of person splits the heavens. Splits the heavens. He was a Moser and a Rodef. He caused the destruction of the temple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have him thrown in jail or punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. Even that kind of busha splits the heavens. V'hi shehechriva es Beis HaMikdash, v'saraf es heichalah. Ashechel. And it was that busha that caused the destruction of the temple and burned the sanctuary. And it's frightening, and it's sobering, and it's such a lesson. And I know I mentioned it last time. Not only should we never be on the receiving end, but almost even more, we should never be, God forbid, on the giving end. And someone reached out to me, Rachi Fried, she's here in a Zoom. I'm just going to make a bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyah b'dvaro. She made an interesting point. I actually got a lot of feedback. I just saw a message this morning from someone who lives in Yerushalayim. Got a lot of feedback about my personal barbecue story that I shared last week. A lot of feedback. I think it resonated very strongly with people in all sorts of different situations. Someone from Yerushalayim reached out to me about it. But Rachi Fried said something so interesting. She said, maybe the fact that we can forgive, not wish bad on somebody, but you don't forget. Maybe it's a matana from the Ribono Shel Olam. Because by not forgetting, you're more sensitive to not hurting somebody else. If we would forget 2.5 decades later how I felt when that lady said that to me, then I wouldn't think twice about saying something similar to someone in that kind of situation. But because the pain still exists, you can be meichel, you could forgive, there should be absolutely no kitchuk against her in Shemaim. I have my own problems. I don't need to cause problems to somebody else, chas v'shalom. But by not forgetting your pain, it's a beautiful idea. Maybe that helps me be more sensitive to other people. I saw it in last week's mishpacha. There's like a submission. Sometimes they have, submit best recipes or stories or something that happened to you. So there's a page in Mishpacha and Family First. I don't know if anyone saw. It says, submit the best advice your mother ever gave you. So I'm thinking of writing in. My mother, the best advice, you should live and be well. She has a rule. It's called no questions, no comments. And it's a very powerful rule. Remember I told you, I was at a chasana recently, and someone who I never met at the table, who I have some kind of kesher to, but I never met her personally, she said to me, have you married off any children yet? First of all, how do you know I have children? And second of all, maybe I'm having trouble shidduchim, and none of them are married. That's a completely inappropriate, she didn't mean anything bad at all. She was making conversation at the wedding. So she said to me, a person she does not know at all, have you married off any children yet? Maybe, God forbid, I don't have children. Maybe I'm having trouble getting my children married off. The best advice my mother really ever gave me, and I try and live by this, is no questions, no comments. When we ask intrusive questions and intrusive comments, could be a comment also, You're causing busha, maybe unbeknownst, like Penina did to Chana, to somebody else. The busha of Bar Kamsa, who was a Moshe and a Rodef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Messiah also. V'sarav es ha'hechal. V'charav es beso. So I think I'm going to write in. If you see it there, you could say you heard it here first. And if you could try and implement this into your life, people will go to a shiva house, Rachmana Latzlan, people will hear of a tragedy. And sometimes the questions that we ask are so grossly inappropriate and intrusive and nosy for no reason. And we are really causing pain to other people. So I think that we have to think, besides for all the times, and I'm sure like me, you remember the times that you have been on the receiving end, even more than that. Or maybe it's a matana, like Rachi Fried said, because it helps me remember to be more sensitive. I would never say that to somebody. Have you married off a child yet? If I don't know anything about their family situation. That's not a neutral question. How's the weather today is neutral. Did you marry off a child is not neutral if you know nothing about me. And Rav Chaim Shmuel of it says, even the busha of the yachid, a person who's a moser and a rodef, al busha shal yachid, shal bar kamsa, shal mishum busha solo, nimnem b'lios rodef al kol Yisrael, v'limsa osam l'malach romi, v'af busha sosha adam, mushecha zeh b'rakia b'boka'as rikiim. It splits the heavens. I'm going to quote again from Hani Machlis. We quoted last time from Hani Machlis in Zahava Zimmerman's story. Different story. The subheading is called No Embarrassment Ever. Everyone who ever entered the Machlis home was treated with honor. The same honor most of us reserve for the most prestigious people. No one of any age, status, or level of religiosity was ever allowed to embarrass anyone or to be embarrassed by anyone in that home for any reason. Once a woman who was a professional opera singer came for Shabbos, because they had literally and continue to have hundreds of people in their home for Shabbosos. She got up in the middle of the meal, this lady, and she wanted to sing. And they had all sorts of people who come through those doors. A woman singing in front of men is prohibited halachically, but to silence her would have been insulting and embarrassing because it was very much in public. Henny went over to her and calmly explained about the prohibition of Kol Isha. Then she said, even though you cannot sing now, we women are very interested in hearing you. So after the meal, we will have an opera recital downstairs. No men will be allowed to the singing. We'll close the door and all the women will get to enjoy you. We really would be honored to hear you sing. Relating the story to the author, one of the daughters concluded that opera singer was a very weird lady. Rabbi Machlis, who was at the interview, answered his daughter, and it encapsulates the Machlis attitude towards every Jew. What do you mean she was weird? How can you say that? She was Jewish. Rabbi Alex Miller's story. When I graduated high school in 1994, I went to Israel for a year. I was finding myself. On Purim, I came to the Machlis home for the Seuda. Mrs. Machlis, with a broad smile, was busy preparing a huge meal. Her happiness and excitement was absolutely contagious. She called out to Rabbi Machlis she needed to get the case of wine from the car. I volunteered to get it. I walked in the door with the case of wine, and the unthinkable happened. I dropped the case of wine. The glass and wine shattered and spilled all over the apartment floor. I was devastated and embarrassed. All of a sudden, I heard screams from Rabbi Mrs. Machlis. Mazel tov, mazel tov. In a minute, Rabbi Machlis, with a circle of men, was dancing around me and singing. They took my embarrassment and turned it into pure joy and happiness. They showed me what can be done with unconditional love. So I always prepare too much, which is better than not preparing enough. I thought last week we would get to the parsha. Last week's parsha in Chutzarts was Balak. So this was actually related to last week's parsha, but Torah is timeless. It doesn't matter if it's Pinchas, and it doesn't matter if it's Matos in Eretz Yisrael. They're really ahead of us. Let's just look at the narrative in Parsha's Balak. I know you don't have a Chumash there, because you have all your source sheets, you have enough to balance. I'm just going to relate the story to you. In Parsha's Balak, in last week's Parsha, okay, you have Balak, the king of Moab, and he hates the Jews, and he wants to kill all the Jews. He's afraid of them. They are disgusted. Vayakatz Moab mipnei b'nei Yisrael, just like the Egyptians. Vayakutz mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Our enemies cannot tolerate us. They're disgusted with their lives because of the Jews, and he wants to destroy them, and he sends a message to Bilam. This nation left Egypt. He's living in the past. They left Egypt 40 years ago. They're covering up the land. They're going to lick us up like the ox licks up its surrounding. I know you're an amazing person with amazing talents. Please come and curse the Jews. And then Bilam says, I can't come with the first messengers. How could you send these lowly assembly men? Maybe if you send senators, then I could come and curse the Jews. Those messengers go home and they say, well, we're not important enough for Bilam. Balak sends more important messengers and he promises a house full of gold and silver. That's Bilam's price. And Bilam finally, under duress, so to speak, but Derech Shadar Motzei Lelech Bamolich and Osarashi tells us on the way in which a person wants to be led, so he will go. God finally says, fine, you could go. But the matter that I tell you, that is what you shall speak. And Bilam is so excited to go. He finally has divine permission. Nothing could stop him. He is such Zriza. So the Pasuk tells us, Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf tells us that God gives him permission. Hey, if you want something badly enough, they're going to give it to you. It's not always good for you. It's like the Chayim Aragim, Tisha B'Av. They wanted not to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly. So God said, you won't go into Eretz Yisrael. So Rachmana Litzlan, here we are. Perachav Beis Pasuchav Aleph. In the Chumash. I'm reading you a story from the Chumash, a narrative. an account from Chumash. Vayakam Bilam Baboker. Bilam wakes up early in the morning. Vayachavosh asano. He saddles his trusty she donkey. And Rashi tells us hatred reverses the order of what is correct. Really, his servants. I mean, could you imagine? You know, not that you want to imagine anything, but I'm just saying. President Biden, the president of the United States, could you imagine if he would say, oh, what's the car called? Not Air Force One, something one. The limousine one is low on gas, and I think I'm going to go to the gas station to fill up with gas. That would be quite ridiculous. He has his servants or whatever, Secret Service. I don't know. Maybe there's a gas station in the White House. They fill up the car with gas. Bilam is so intent on going to going to curse the Jews that he harnesses his own donkey. Vayerech im Sarimov, and he's going with Sarimov. Medrash Tanchuma Siman Tash, Parshas Balak, tells us that when this incident happens, the Sarei Moav are astonished. They have never seen a miracle like this in their life. So something that I didn't realize till this year, I always had this vision in my head of Bilam riding on his donkey with Shnei Na'arav Imo, his two lads, his two attendants with him. He was being accompanied by an entire royal entourage. He was not on his own. Rav Sham Sherfal Hirsch says, surely Balak had sent a proper mount, M-O-U-N-T. Maybe they sent the royal steed, the finest horse, the Arabian horses, and it's dressed in silver and gold and purple and blue, fit for a king, because Bilam's coming to accomplish something amazing. Bilam was not just walking with his donkey and his two lads. He's walking with an entire royal entourage. Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. Hashem is very upset that Bilam is going. Vayisyasev melech Hashem b'darach, an angel of God. I'm just reading the psukim. If you're at home or whatever, if someone's got a chumash, you don't have to. I'm in Perachav Beis, Pasachav Beis. And an angel of God is blocking the path to be an impediment. Vahu rochev alasono, and he is so proud of himself. He's riding his donkey, and he has his two lads with him. Everything is gevaldik. Vatevei ha'ason es melech Hashem. And the Ason sees the Malach Hashem standing in the way. Not only that, but the Malach Hashem is a charbo shlufo biado, has a sword drawn in its hand. Vateita Ason min hadarach. So the Ason can't believe it. She's afraid. She turns and she goes into the field. Vayach Bilam es Ason. Bilam hits the donkey to make it go back on the way. Remember, he's going with a whole, this is not by himself. This is a public spectacle. Medrash Tanchuma Balak Siman Tes says, the Sarei Moav were astonished. They never saw a miracle like this in their lives. So he's riding, this guy pretends to be so prominent, and the donkey goes into the field, and he hits the donkey. Now the angel of Hashem stands in the vineyards. If you've ever been ATVing in Gush Etzion, which we did summer 2019, and we did it again, Pesach, Baruch Hashem, Tavshim Pei Beis, we just did it. It's really worthwhile. It's such an amazing, beautiful, just appreciate Eretz Yisrael, appreciate the Shivat HaMinim, appreciate the beauty and the bounty of the land, but the paths in the vineyards are very, very narrow. So now the Baruch Hashem goes to the path of the vineyard. Presumably, maybe he got her back to the road. They go a little bit more, they come to a vineyard, there's no fast train, and there's no light rail, and there's no Rav-Kav, and there's no, I don't know, even steam engine, the only way to get there is by riding on your donkey. So they come to a vineyard, and it's very narrow, and there's a fence on this side, a wall on one side, a wall on the other side, and now the angel is blocking the path. So the Ason pushes Bilam's leg into the wall. And the Sarei Moav don't know what's going on. They start making fun of him. You're going to curse a whole nation. You're going to bring ruination upon 2.5 million people. You can't even control your own donkey. You can't get the donkey to go. She can't listen to you. How do you think God is going to listen to you about cursing a whole people? So he hits her again. Vayosef lahakoso. He continues to hit her. Vayosef malach Hashem avar. The Malach Hashem is not giving up. That angel of Rachamim, Rashi points out, it's an angel of mercy who's trying to make him see reality. He's not seeing the angel. The donkey's seeing the angel. The angel's not giving up. And now she stands in a very narrow place. But Makom Tsar, she's in a narrow place. There's no place to go right or left. So now there's only place for one person or one donkey to pass through. There's no field, there's no vineyard, there's no wall, single file. So she has nowhere to go. So what does she do? Because she's trying to get away from the angel. She crouches down low. And the Ason sees the Malach Hashem. She crouches under Bilam. Bilam's very angry, and he hits her with a stick. He takes a stick and he hits her. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'ason. Hashem opens the mouth of the donkey. Vatomer leBilam. And she says to Bilam, Hashem, you're too used to the story, so no one's saying, oh my God, a talking donkey. Because everybody knows that there's a talking donkey. I mean, we're currently dog sitting. Okay? She's going back soon. But imagine if I brought her here, Coco. There's a family in Cedarhurst who's in Israel. WhatsApp says, can sometimes be helpful for. Some days ago, it says, looking for someone to dog sit our puppy. We're going to Israel for a month. 2 hours later, she's in my house. So imagine if I brought her and she starts giving you a speech. She says she likes it better at the Kunstlers or better at the Horowitzes. If we take good care of her, not good care of her. What did I do to you? Why did he put me in my pen? Why am I in my crate? Imagine literally if I put a chair and the dog starts talking. I'm telling this to you not to be humorous. We don't appreciate what it means that the donkey starts talking. Imagine if you go to the zoo. You would think your mind is crazy. You would think that you need to check yourself into a mental institution. Excuse me, I'm not joking. If I brought the dog here and Coco started talking to you, you would think this is insane. Coco Puff is friends with Coco. Your Coco Puff and my Coco are friends. Okay, so the donkey's literally talking. Please, I'm trying to illustrate, not to be silly. You don't appreciate the nace, but the Sari Moav don't know the story. They didn't learn it for thousands of years. They're completely astonished. That's what the Medrash says. They never shalom ra'u nace kamo ba'olam. They never saw such a miracle in their whole lives. And she says to Bilam, what did I do to you that you hit me 3 times? And Bilam doesn't say, oh my God, I better check myself in. He answers her. He says, well, you made a mockery of me. Ki his alaut bi. You made a mockery. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you. And she says to him, aren't I your trusty donkey that you ride upon from forever until today? Have I been accustomed to doing this to you? And he says, no. She puts Bilam in his place. Medrash Tanchuma, the same simon, says that when the Sari Moav see he can't even control the donkey, so they say to him, so tell me, why are you riding on a horse? Should we ride it? We brought horses. So he says, she's not mine. I just borrowed her, like Michal Haaretz. I'm just dog sitting. It's not mine. I didn't know she would be so much trouble. She's not mine. So the donkey says, hello, Anochi Asoncha. The Medrash fills us in. They say to Bilam, why aren't you riding a horse? This is the Medrash. So Bilam says, she's not mine. I just borrowed her. I'm donkey sitting. The owners left. I didn't know she was going to be so much trouble. So she hears him say, I'm not your donkey. So she says, hello, Anochi Asoncha. I'm your donkey. So Bilam says, oh, she is my donkey, but I only use her Lita'ina for loading. She carries my packages, FedEx, Amazon, Amazon Prime, UPS. I just use her for loading. So when the donkey hears this, she says, Asher rachavta alai. You ride upon me. So he says to the Sari Moav, only occasionally. So she says, I'm not making any of this up. Go look it up. Medrash Tanchum Besimitas Balak. So she says, Me'orcha arayom azek. Did you just say you only ride upon me occasionally? You've been riding, a donkey and Bilam are talking. You've been riding upon me always. And he has nothing to answer. Haskein hiskanti lasosechako. You did not borrow me. I'm not only for loading. You don't ride me occasionally. And I've never been accustomed to do this. And in fact, Chazal tells us that Bilam was so perverted, excuse me, he practiced bestiality with the donkey. She wasn't just for loading and riding. She was used for much more than that. And he says no. He can't answer her. You're right. You have not been accustomed to doing such a thing to me. Then God opens the eyes of Bilam, and he sees the donkey at the road, and he falls down. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. I'm going to screen share. Go back to my handout. The next source on your handout, we did Sichos Musar 3. Now we're up to Bamidbar Chof Beis Lamed Gimel. On my own handout, not Sichos Musar. Okay? No, why are people looking confused? It should be very clear. There are two handouts. One is Sichos Musar, which doesn't look like my usual paper, and the other one which does. Please go to Bamidbar, Chaf Beis Lamed Gimel, on the Michal Haaretz handout. Okay. And for the people at home, I put it on the screen. Bilam is now having a conversation with the angel. Okay, that was a conversation with the donkey. Now he's talking to the angel because God opens his eyes and he sees the donkey. The angel, I'm sorry, the Malach Hashem. And the Malach Hashem says to Bilam in Perachav Beis Pasuk Lamed Gimel, excuse me, let's hear any ha'ason. The ason saw me. Vatei tefanai zei shalosh regalim. And she's trying to get away from me. Remember the first time from the road to the field, the second time in the vineyard into the wall, the third time she crouches low because there's nowhere to go. She's trying to get away from me these three times. Ulei nitasa mipanai. Had she not turned away from me, ki ata, because now, gam oscha haragti, I would have killed her. The osa hechiyusani. I would now even have killed you, I said it wrong, and let her live. Had she not turned away from me, I would have killed you and let her live. But what I want to show you is Rashi. Va'ata, and now, mipnesha dibra v'hochi chascha. She gave you tochacha. She gave you a Mishnah Torah, a Sefer Devarim. Moshe gives us tochacha. Remember the whole thing we began with? Does anyone remember last week? The connection between Devarim and always read Erev Tisha B'Av, because the first Rashi in Devarim is Moshe's tochacha, and he does it b'derech remez, so we shouldn't be embarrassed. So the donkey also gave Bilam tochacha, but she didn't do it quietly. She didn't do b'derech remez. She did it very publicly. Everything he says, she opens up her pisk, and she has something else to say. So Rashi says, and now, Mipnesha Dibra, because she spoke, Vahochi Chascha, rebuked you. Velo Yacholta La Amor Bitochachta. You couldn't answer her. You had nothing to say. Kimosha Kasu, Vayomer Lalo, Haragtiha. What happened? What did the donkey with the sword in his hand, what did the Malach Hashem with the Charbo Shlufa Biyado do to the donkey? Hello? Haragtiha. He killed her. If you know it in the story, you don't hear about the donkey anymore. Well, maybe, presumably, he went in the royal mount. I don't know what happened to the donkey, but they killed the donkey. Maybe they left it in the field for the hyenas to eat the carcass. The donkey's out of the picture. Why did they kill the donkey? Shelo yomru, so people will not say, Zohi shesilka bilam betochachta velo yachol hoshiv. So people will not say, this is the one who Bilam was so embarrassed by her. She humiliated him in front of the Sarimo. We're talking about Rishayim Gemurim. Balak's a Rasha, Bilam's a Rasha, everyone wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. Bilam is a man of Shmutz. He's a man of Ayin Ra, Ruach Gevoa, Nefesh Rechava. He wants more and more kavod, more and more money. He has Tzaros Ayin against other people. But this donkey, Taka, put Bilam in its place, Bilam in his place, and he couldn't answer back. He had nothing to say. Shachas hamakam al kavod abrios. Kosh Baruch Hu had mercy on the honor of brios. I remember also many, many years ago, I think what Rachi Fried said is really important. I think Hashem doesn't let us forget so that we're more sensitive, hopefully, from our own pain to other people. I remember many years ago, when my eldest son was a young child, we were waiting in a certain situation for a ride. And there was another mother with her young child also waiting for the same ride. I have no idea what happened in the home that morning or what the child did or did not do. But I remember vividly, I remember where we were standing, that the mother was screaming at the child and then smacked the child across the face. Shocking is an understatement. Terrible. Terrifying. You have to be so careful in how we interact with other people, from our own family or families. Sometimes that's the hardest. Sometimes those are the people that annoy us the most. Sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we feel animus. I'm not talking about maybe your immediate family, extended family, whatever. But the way we behave and the people in the street, it's not easy to always see the kavod in each other. Hashem knows we're human beings. He created us with emotions. But it is imperative that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kavod on a person of such schmutz, he was drek Bilam. He was a disgusting person. He slept with his own donkey. She doesn't only mean you ride upon me for loading or for travel. Hello, Anochi Asoncha, Shavar Chaftalai, Me'orcha, Arayom Azeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on Bilam. Shachas HaMalkam al Kavod HaBrios. So too, by the way, you see Rashi's quoting Medrash Tanchum, it's the same Medrash that I just was quoting to you before. The Medrash ends with this. The Medrash gives another reason why the donkey had to be killed that Rashi and Chumash does not quote, which is so it shouldn't become a deity. Everywhere they would go, people would start worshiping. It would become like a Avodah Zarah. People would start worshiping because you're so used to the fact that a donkey talks, but it's really such a Pella. People would start worshiping this donkey who has powers. So that's the first reason the Medrash actually gives as to why the donkey was killed. Because God did not want it to become a deity, people would worship it. But it's compelling that Rashi doesn't even quote that on Chumash. Because Rashi knows that most people do not go look up the Medrash. Most people, if they learn either Stein Mikra Ve'echar Targum, either they're doing Unkos and or Rashi, you don't even go look up the Medrash usually. Rashi wants you to know what's the most important part of the Medrash. Shechas ha-makam al-kavar abriyos. And the Pasuk says in Vayikra, it's in Parshas Kedoshim, when a woman has relations, I don't even know exactly what to call it, I'm not even saying it properly, but when a woman, an animal, and there's bestiality, so the Pasuk says, Esa behema taharogu, you should kill the animal. So Chazal say, if the woman sinned, what did the animal do? So the same situation, why do you kill the animal in such a situation? Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll quote on Hebrew. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on someone who sleeps with her horse, excuse me, it's disgusting. Who cares what people think about the woman who goes into the barn and has relations with the horse? She's depraved. She's perverted. She's sexually sick. She's a crazy person. She might be embarrassed, so you should put the horse to death. Bilam might feel a little bad. People will say, ha ha, there's the donkey that embarrassed Bilam. Who cares if Bilam's embarrassed? Sichos Musar 4, this handout, the other one. If the letters are too small, I'm just reading it for you. Okay? Number 4. Rav Chaim Shmulevit says, V'chein matzinu bebilam. So we have found, remember I thought, silly, that I was going to have time to be teaching, I don't even know, I'm going to finish my sources today. I thought I was going to be teaching this last week, so it did tie into the parsha last week. But it doesn't matter whether it ties in or it doesn't tie in, it's crucial. V'chein matzinu bebilam. So we have found with Bilam. Shemiyad ba'achar sha'asono ho Chicha also, immediately after the Ason talks back and reproves him, Mesa, the end of the life of the Ason, finished. Shelo Yarmu, Zohi Shasilkas Bilam Betochachta, Velo Hayaya Chala Shiva. He's quoting Rashi, he's quoting the Medrash, which we already explained and understood. The Chasamakam Akavar Abrios, Rashi to Bamibar, the same Medrash Rava, Medrash Tanchuma. Bilam Haya Avi Avos. Kol ha-pichisos sheba'olam. Avi av ha-tuma is a corpse. A corpse is the most intense degree of tuma from which all other tuma is derived. Avi avos ha-tuma is the mother of all impurities. It's a term that Chazal used to denote how impure the corpse is, and other impurities derive from the corpse. So if you're in the tent when the corpse dies, if there's an earthenware vessel that's not sealed when the person dies in the enclosure. But the source of impurity, the avi avos hatuma, is the corpse itself. Bilam was the avi avos kol hapechiso sheba'olam. He was the father, the essence, the core, the derivative of all personality, negative personality traits, flaws, pechiso, shebolam, personality flaws in the world. See Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos says he has an ayin ra'a, ruach gevoha, and nefesh rechava. Ayin ra'a, he had a bad eye, a stingy eye, a negative eye, viewing others. Nefesh rechava, he wants more and more wealth. If Balak would pay me a house full of gold and silver. And finally, Ruach Gevoha, he thinks of himself as the whole world. He says to God, when God says, who are these people? So Bilam says, oh, you don't think I'm important, but Balak sent very important people. He is the father of all personality deficiencies in the world. All midos raus in the world. Afal pikein, nevertheless. Mi chashash, the pkiya bekvoda. There was a chashash. There's a doubt that his kavod might be insulted. It doesn't say for sure he's going to be insulted. There's a person like Bilam might not be insulted anyway by anything anyone does. But there's a chashash. Maybe he'll be insulted. Maybe it will hurt his kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Ason to death. Even if you would have left the Ason alive, Hayakon Kiddush Hashem, it would have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to leave the Ason alive. Korah Oso Haya Omer, why would have been such a Kiddush Hashem? Anyone who would see the Ason would say, Zeh Shepatach Hashem Espia. It would have been a gevald, a Kiddush Hashem. That's the Ason. Hashem opened her mouth. It proves there's a Ribon Shalom in the world. It proves to any non-believer that there's a God. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Mikol makom, kevan sheyesh b'hisharuseh b'chayim pegia kala, b'pachos shebapichusim zeh. He again reiterates what a degenerate, what a low life, what a disgusting, horrible person Bilam is. But nevertheless, because by leaving her alive, there's a pegia kala, not a stab wound in Bilam, metaphysically, a little scratch. All he's going to feel if the donkey is left alive is a little scratch. You'll get over it. Get abandoned in polysporin and you'll be fine tomorrow. But there's a slight chance of slightly insulting Bilam, who is the most degenerate, disgusting person around. Chas hamakom al kvodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on his kavod. The hamis esa osom. Bakamsa was a motzer and a rodif. Bilam was a horrible, terrible, perverted, jealous, kavod-filled, power-hungry individual. But there might be a slight chance, a chashash. Maybe he's going to be insulted tomorrow when he wakes up. Maybe he's going to be ashamed by everyone forwarding the WhatsApp saying, did you hear what the donkey said to Bilam? So therefore, we cannot leave him alive. Now, I would venture to say that nobody we know personally, I'm not talking about on the world stage, people, nobody we know personally is on the level of Bilam HaRasha. Sometimes a person might annoy you, their personality, you might not agree with them ashkafically. There's no one you know who's Bilam HaRasha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on a person like this, he might be embarrassed. How much more so, kal v'chomer, ben beno shall kal v'chomer, how careful we have to be with the things that we say, the way we interact, striving to view the Tzelem Elohim in every person who we meet and who we encounter. Let us go back to your handout. I want to learn with you an amazing kliyakar. I think I am going to have time, but lean later, to get through what I want. Okay. You have the pasuk, okay, on your regular handout. I hope you can see my screen. I'm back in Vayikra 19:18. If you can't see, then I don't know. I guess post on the chat. Okay. Vayikra 19:18. This is Parshas Kedoshim. Pretty famous pasuk. I think you would all agree with me. Perek Yutas Pasuk Yitchas in Vayikra. Lo sikam velo sitar spenei amecha. You should not take nekama nor bear a grudge against fellows from your nation. What is nekama and what is bearing a grudge and what is taking revenge and what is bearing a grudge? So Rashi says, your friend says, lend me your sickle. So you say, I'm not lending you my sickle. You didn't lend me yours yesterday. That's nekama. Revenge. Bearing a grudge, lo sitar, netira, I'll lend you my sickle even though you didn't lend me yours. So there's still something wrong with you because you're not lending it with an ayin yafa. You're over the law of bearing a grudge. Okay. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha ani Hashem. I didn't put Rashi here because everyone knows the famous Rashi off by heart. Amar Rabbi Akiva zekal gadol b'Torah. That's all Rashi has to tell you. The Rabbi Akiva, the great Tana, said, this is the great principle of Torah. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. This kliyakar is very, very powerful. Let's look at it together. I know it's lengthy. I'm going to be reading and translating the whole thing. It's very important. V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Amru azal, zeh kal gadol b'Torah. This is a great principle of Torah. Of a Masechah Shabbos, in a Masechah Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Ma'aseh Bahal Hu Ger. famous story. You might be fairly familiar with it. You have a famous story in the Gemara, which is in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, that a ger comes to Shammai, and he says, convert me while I stand on one foot. And Shammai pushed him away with a building tool. Then he comes to Hillel, and he says, convert me while I stand on one foot. And Hillel famously says, what is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. Okay? You have the Maisa, the story of a certain convert, and he said, Lamdeini kala Torah kashani omed al ragal achad. I'm going to stand on one foot. I would like you to teach me the whole Torah. Now, is it possible to learn the whole Torah while you stand on one foot? Is it possible to learn the whole Torah if you live 120 years? Not really. That's why we keep learning and learning and learning, because there are always more secrets and more sodos and more remazim and more lessons. If you could learn the whole Torah in any amount of time, then a certain time in your life you would stop learning Torah. But since you can never finish learning Torah, so we keep learning. Certainly you can't learn on one foot. V'lamdo Hillel pasuk, but Hillel did not say, I can't teach it to you. Hillel actually said, I'm going to tell you, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Paraphrase. Hillel paraphrased the pasuk, love for your fellow what you love for yourself. What Hillel actually said is, kol da'alach sini, whatever is hateful to you, l'chavercha lo tavid, don't do to your friend. V'idach perushay zal gemur. This is the whole Torah. This is the interpretation of the Torah. You can go learn the rest. This is everything. That's what you have to know. Okay, what's hateful to you, don't do to your friend. V'kvi hanira. It seems, Shahagir Haya Ger Tzadak. The Kliyogar said this wasn't someone who was coming to make a mockery. He wasn't making fun of Judaism. He was a righteous convert. V'lo Haya Mehatel HaTolim Lomar B'derech Schok. He wasn't a jester or a mocker or a leitzan who is saying this by way of mockery. Sheyomudu Kol HaTorah Ba'otshu Omer Al Raga Echad Mamish. He didn't literally mean, I'm going to stand on one foot, and you will literally teach me Kol Torah Kulo. He wasn't trying to make a mockery, like the Ben Arasha, Ma Avodah Zos Lechem, Lechem V'lolo. He wasn't trying to be a leitzan, but most of leitzim lo yashav. He's asking a serious question. So if he's saying, L'amdeini Kol Torah Kishani Omer Al Raga Echas, what is he actually asking? Because you can't teach Kol Torah while you're standing on one foot. It's impossible. So what was he actually asking? Sheyomudu Kol Torah Ba'otshu Omer Al Raga Echad Mamish? No, that wasn't his kasha. Ella. Vadai bikesh, what was he actually asking? Mamesha ya'amido kol mitzvos. I should have underlined it for you. Underline it for yourself if you're keeping this. Mamash sheya'amido kol mitzvos haTorah al yisod echad. He was not asking, says the Kli Yakar, to teach me Torah while I stand over. You could learn Torah your whole life, you're not going to be finished learning. Because Torah is divine. Torah is the Ribono Shel Olam. You're never going to uncover everything in Torah. Never. And he wasn't trying to be a leitzan. He wasn't trying to be a derech schok. He was saying, what is the one foundation upon which all of Torah stands? I understand. A house has a foundation. And it has floors, staircases, bathrooms, kitchen, den, living room, bedroom, study, office, playroom. I'm not asking you to tell me what's inside the whole entire house at once. How's the foundation? I just want to know what is the foundation of the Torah. That's Lamdeini Kol HaTorah Kula, because Kol HaTorah Kula is encapsulated in the foundation. Just like a house stands on the foundation, the Torah stands on the foundation. He wasn't saying, teach me all 613 and all the thousands of Derabbanan on one foot. Ya'amido Kol Mitzvah Shevetorah Al Yesod Echad. What is the foundation of the entire Torah? Dahainu Rega Echad. A metaphor for that is one leg. What's the one leg, the one yisod that holds up the Torah? Asher alav ya'amido kol mitzvos. Upon this yisod, all the mitzvos stand. Kedei, why was he asking for this? Kedei shelo yavo lidei shechicha hamtsuya beger asher lo lamad minu urav klum mi mitzvos haTorah. The ger needs a trick. He needs a tool. He needs a mnemonic, I never say it right. Okay? A trick to remember Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay? Chulin 7b says, Ein Adam Nekov Etzbo Milamata, Ela Ein Kein Machrizin Alav Milamala. How do I know that? Because Chulin is a play on words on chola, sick. Seven is you could become sick and stab your toes 7 days a week. That's Micha Horitz's mnemonic, trick. to remember it, klinichul in 7b, you could potentially become sick, i.e. stab your toe 7 days a week. So what does it say in chul in 7b? Ein adam nekof etzbo milamata, ala imkein machrizinav milamala. It's a tool for learning. Make the tzach adash ba'achav is a, what's the word? Mnemonic? Thank you. Okay, so that's mine, chul in 7b. I have other ones like that. Shabbos 127a, Gado Achnasas Archim Mikabaz Pnei Shechina. How do I remember? Shadu Achnasas Archim on Shabbos, but it shouldn't be 24/7 because 12 hours a day you should give to your family. The other 12 you should give to guests. Shabbos is when you should have guests. 127b, 127 could be divided into 12 and 7. Shadu Achnasas Archim, 12 hours a day, give your family the other 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, you don't know? It works for me. Fine. Barzel is a mnemonic for Bilha Rachel. Zilpaleya. Now you can know which imahot had which of the shvacho. Fine. Those are a few. I have more. I'm taking up too much time already. Tell you my mnemonics. This ger just wants a mnemonic to remember a kol Torah kula. Why? He doesn't want to forget because he's a convert. I read this in Hebrew already. And he didn't learn from his youth. He didn't go to kindergarten and learn Torah Tzivul Anu Moshe. He didn't go to first grade and learn Chulin 7b. He didn't go to second grade and learn Shabbos Kochav Zayin Aleph. So he didn't know these things. So he's a gear, so he needs a trick to remember all the mitzvos. Al kein bikesh mimenu, sheyimser lo klal echad hakolei kol haTorah. Therefore, he asked him to tell me one principle, one trick, one rule I need to remember. If I remember that rule, I will remember it encompasses the entire Torah. By way of meili, it really means an interpretation, an interpreter. When you say someone should be a melech yosher, it really means an interpreter. Okay. By way of non-literal request, he was saying, I'm standing on one leg. It was a metaphor for, I need the yesod of the Torah. The kavanaso limsolor davar hanemar mehera, belashon katzar, the tzach adash ba'achav is Namar Mehera Baloshon Katzer. Instead of saying, what are the 10 makos, dam, sordeh, kinim, arv, devish, chim, bar, arv, choshach, machas, b'choros, I could tell you, tzach, adash, b'achav, Rabbi Yehuda, I said, no, sem, behem, simonim. So Hillel's giving him a Namar Mehera Baloshon Katzer. I'm giving you a quick way, a short form to remember the whole Torah. V'hainu gam kein yesod v'ragel echad. This is the foundation. This is the one foot upon which the entire Torah stands. V'ayideza sheyizkar kol ze yizkar kol mitzvos Hashem. If you remember v'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha, you will remember every mitzvah of God. It doesn't say if you remember Shabbos, you remember every mitzvah of God. It doesn't say if you remember Yom Kippur, Taras HaMishpacha, Chinuch HaBanim, Kosher Matzah, Chol of Yisrael, which I keep, so I'm not making any fun of anyone who does, you'll remember all the mitzvahs of God. If you remember what is hateful to you, do not do to your friend, you will remember all the mitzvahs of the Torah. What is hateful to you, do not do to your friend? Kavod HaBrios. If you don't like, if someone says, oh, you just have one child, but we have a few, so you still count, we don't count. You will never go to a wedding and say to someone you don't know, have you married off any children? Because how do I even know she has children? How do I know she's able to marry them off? What is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. You remember that, you're going to remember Kol Torah Kulo. And therefore, Hillel teaches him the concept of love for your fellow, what you love for yourself. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Makos, now the Kliyakar is going to resolve a contradiction, a stira. We have a problem. The Gemara Makos tells us that Chavakuk came and he established the whole Torah on one foundation. Chavakuk said that the whole Torah stands upon tzadik be'emunaso yechya. Emuna in Hashem is the Yisod Kol HaTorah. Call her Torah. Chavakuk comes along and says, what's the foundation of Torah? Amuna. Hillel comes along, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, the whole foundation of Torah is Vahavta Yecha Kamocha. Which one is it? Is the whole foundation Amuna Ba'ashem, like Chavakuk says, or is it Vahavta Yecha Kamocha, like Rabbi Akiva and Hillel say? V'zeh eino soser, divrei Hillel. The Kliyaka says, just a minute, there's no stira here. It's not a contradiction. Ki ka mitzvah sa Torah heim al shnei sugim. There's actually two foundations to Torah. Every single mitzvah falls into one of two categories. Ha'echad hu, ha'mitzvah sheben atam ma'akom baruch hu. The Yesod the Kulam Ha'amuna Ba'ashem. Habakkuk was right. Tzadik Ba'amuna Soyech. Yeah? The Yesod of all of Torah is Amuna and Hashem. That's what the Kliyaka said. That represents mitzvos ben adam l'makom. Shabbos, lulav, matzah, I don't know, shatnis. Those are all mitzvos ben adam l'makom. Baruch Hu, they're all represented in amunah. Hasheni hu, but there's a second yisod. Hamitzvos she ben adam l'chaviro. V'yisod l'kulam pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. There's another foundation. And that is the pasuk, you shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. You know, Micharetz loves the Mishkan. And because of this, the Kruvim, the two gold cherubs that sat atop the Aron Kodesh, had their wings spread upwards. Their wings went up towards heaven. What sat in the Aron Kodesh? The Torah, the Luchos. So the Aron Kodesh represents Keser Torah. So now you look at the Kruvim, says the Kli Yakar, and you're going to see both foundations to call it Torah Kulo. The wings of the Kruvim went up. Kenegal mitzvos ben adam l'makom. Upneim ish al achiv. But their faces towards one another. Kenegal mitzvos ben ish l'chaviro. Represent the mitzvos between man and friend. Ukesha amar kanal raga echad hainu yisod echad achal sug. When he said, teach me Torah while I stand on one leg, he means, what is the foundation for each category? The foundation for one category is Amuna, Chavakuk, Tzadik Ba'amuna, So Yechya. The foundation for the other category is, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, don't do to your fellow what you don't like done to yourself. V'alkein amar lo pasuk, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. I'm debating with myself if I should be saying this or not, but I am going to say it, because I think it's for Toelas. And I got a lot of responses last week about my barbecue maisa. Some of you remember my mother from when she used to come to my shiurim. She should live and be well. She had a serious medical incident a year and a half ago. Baruch Hashem, she has had a significant recovery. Whatever, she should have a full of Shaleiman. Live and be well. Don't ask people private details about painful things unless you have a way to concrete help them. Don't cause undue pain to people. Someone reached out to me from Yerushalayim with this kind of maisa. A person who reached out to me from Yerushalayim said she knows I'm going through a very difficult medical matzav. And worse than the medical matzav, she wrote this. I'm not going to read the exact WhatsApp. Is the questions that people ask. Unless you have literally some concrete way to help in that situation, you could ask the name for Rafua, Al David. If you need to speak to me, I'm here. I'm not trying to give anybody Musar, even though it sounds like I am. I'm not. I'm giving myself Musar. My mother's the one who always taught me, no questions, no comments. It's one of the smartest rules in your life. Don't make people feel bad. Don't ask someone you don't know anything about, have you made a wedding yet? It is a grossly inappropriate, very painful question. If you, Baruch Hashem, have no trouble marrying off your children, you can't relate to it. Don't ask people that question. That woman from Jerusalem, that's what the text was about. Difficult. She said, worse than the medical matzav is the pain from what people ask. You want to know what the whole Yesod Torah is? You want to know how to remember Kol Torah Kulo? What is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Love for your fellow like you love for yourself. That's why the Kruvim faced each other. Someone doesn't have children for a number of years. Don't tell me you have so many kids so you don't camp by the barbecue. We need to have sensitivity for each other. People have real struggles. There are Rachman Litzlan illnesses in life. Infertility, financial problems, shalom bias. Tsar Gidol Banim. Someone, this was real godless. Last year, one of my boys switched from Darche to Hink. Both of my boys are thriving, Baruch Hashem, in their respective schools. Hodul Hashem, Kitov, Kile Amchasto, Inanachnum, Aspikim, Behodos. Hink, which has been amazing, is a very modern Orthodox Kolodniysko. Someone, when I said that that's where he's going, said to me a negative comment about the student's apparent body, the Ashkafa, but this is godless. She reached out to me a few days later, and she said, I want to apologize for what I said. That's a real friend, and that's godless. I'm sorry it was inappropriate. I'm sure you looked into it, and it must be the right choice. That's tremendous. B'makom shabai teshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. That is tremendous. All these things I'm telling you are real life. I'm not the only one. You could all stand up here, and all the people on Zoom, and you could all say your own stories. It's just illustrative. You want to know the foundation, you don't have to remember anything else. If you remember V'ahavta Recha Kamecha, you know the whole Torah. And if one person in these two Shir series, in this one two-part Shir series, prevents themselves one time from saying one harmful thing, then it was for To'alas. It's godless. She reached out a few days later and she said, I'm sorry. I want to apologize. What a friend. What courage, what humility, what self-awareness. I think I am going to write into Mishpacha. The best advice my mother taught me is no questions, no guns. And my children know it also. Va'al kein amar lo pasuk va'ahavta recha kamocha. Va'al regal zehe mido kol ha-mitzvah she'bin adam chaveiro. Can you establish for him all mitzvahs between man and fellow man? Va'amar lo gam sof ha-pasuk ani Hashem. The pasuk in Vayikra Yud Tes Yud Ches is V'ahavta Recha Kamocha Ani Hashem. Love for your fellow what you love for yourself, but it ends with I am the Lord. So the Kli Yakar says, what do you have in this one pasuk? Both Yesodos. V'ahavta Recha Kamocha, the first part of the phrase, is Bein Adam Mechaveiro, but it ends with Ani Hashem, which is Bein Adam Lamakom. And therefore, in the pasuk V'ahavta Recha Kamocha Ani Hashem, we have the foundation of Kol Torah Kulo. The foundation of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the foundation of Bein Adam L'Makom. Then he goes, I'm just going to paraphrase. We see this in the Aseret HaDibros, says the Kli Yakar. The first half begins with Anochi. I know it's late. I'm sorry. I realize that people have to go. You could catch the last few minutes online. I don't want to take this into, I mean, I could, but I don't want to take it into a third class, so I apologize if I went over and if anyone needs to leave. I totally understand. And he relates this to the Aseret HaDibros. The first half of the Dibros is Bein Adam L'Makom, Anochi Hashem. And the second half of the Dibros is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. These are the two, I'm just paraphrasing now. Okay, these are the two foundations of Kol Torah Kulo. Okay, you can read the last paragraph if you want by yourself. Anochi encapsulates Kol Torah Kulo, Bein Adam L'Makom. Lo Tachmud, the final, encapsulates all mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. If we remember, we learned through four pieces by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. We went through many different narratives in Tanakh. We went through many different Ma'amrei Chazal. And we started by talking about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and what destroyed it. And we also threw in a lot of very personal vignettes about the power of our words and our actions. Because, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, when it comes to Bein Adam Mechaveiro, if you put your hand in fire, even with the best of intentions, you will be burned. And if the first temple was destroyed because of Charvot Shabilashonam, and the second one was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, and Hashem was Messiah Bar Kamsa, who is a Rodef and a Moser, and the temple was destroyed, and it seems to be that only if we reverse this entire process. And when you are on the receiving end, do what Rachi Fried said. Thank you, Hashem, I don't forget the pain while I forgive the person, so that it helps me to be more sensitive to other people in the future. Perhaps then we will be zocha to see the binyan by Yishlishi Be'azrat Hashem immediately in our days. I wish everybody a wonderful day and a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all.